The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, August 8th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite video game movies. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan. So as you know, the Borderlands movie comes to theaters tomorrow. I guess technically you can see it tonight if you're one of the five people on Earth who is like eagerly anticipating that movie, which has been extremely troubled. And I want to say they started filming it 3 or 4 years ago or something.
It wrapped filming in June of 2021.
Wow. Yeah. So. Anyway, I don't think we're going to be devoting much conversation to the Borderlands movie on this podcast going forward. I mean, we'll probably talk about its box office performance and stuff next week, but it just, from everything that we've seen so far from the early reactions and stuff, we have our own review from Slash Film that's up on the site right now. It just sounds like it's not really a great movie, but I thought it might be a good launch point for us to talk a little bit about video game films. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this topic before, and I was like, oh, maybe Ryan and I can just put together a list of, maybe each of us could come up with five video game movies that we liked. And so I was scrolling through the list, and it's bleak out there, man. Like, it's really rough. I know it's obviously like, it's been a long conversation in the entirety of the industry, right, about video game movies being tough to crack. And that's kind of like common knowledge for anybody who's been paying attention to this stuff for a long time. But looking at the actual options that I had to choose from here, I was shocked all over again at just how many swings there have been and how few of them have actually connected. What was your experience like going through and just sort of looking at the list of options to choose from here?
It's super true what you're saying. And I think like I've written some stuff for us about how the tide is turning a little bit. A lot of that has to do with the TV side of things sort of leading the way. But then there have been stuff like the Sonic the Hedgehog movies, Detective Pikachu, another one we're going to talk about, that where like it doesn't have to be now that video game movies are automatically bad. But, you know, this is only very recent. And you know, this goes back to 1993 when the first Super Mario Brothers movie came out. So it's been over 30 years of Hollywood trying to do this. And I would say only within the last five have any of them been any good. So, you know, all due respect to people who like some of the Resident Evil movies or anything, though, some of those are fine, you know, be mid-budget action movie, but they're not like, it's amazing for how great video games can be, how hard it has been to translate that to screen. Mm-hmm. You know, because Resident Evil is my favorite video game franchise. The original Resident Evil is my favorite video game of all time. I can watch some of those movies. To say that any of them reach the level of those games would be just flat out fooling oneself. So that's kind of I'm with you. It's very hard looking over that list to be like, because I thought maybe I could cobble together five, and I was like, oh, not even close. So it was very interesting sort of looking at that list. I'm with you. It's crazy.
Like so there are a lot of video game movies that I've never seen because, you know, I guess when I was a kid coming up and stuff, I even remember my friends when I was a kid telling me that a lot of these video game movies were bad. So I've avoided a lot of them in my life. And having to cover stuff for Slash Film, I've been lucky enough to not have to, you know, haven't been assigned to review the ninth Resident Evil movie or whatever. I've actually never seen any of the Resident Evil movies. I've never seen any of the Tomb Raider movies in their entirety. I've never seen any of the Silent Hill movies, and I've never seen, you know, like the Alone in the Darks and stuff like that, Blood Rain.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just like so many franchises that maybe those projects have their fans and have things that people can actually latch onto and appreciate on like the horror level or whatever. But like, I just personally have so little experience with a lot of this stuff that I've only seen sort of like the, I guess what you would call the upper tier or like the main entries in this canon. And I don't think I'd like a single one of these movies, right? I was telling you before we started recording, if you gave me the option to watch Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time again, or just stare at a blank wall for 2 hours, I think I would stare at the blank wall. Like, I just don't really find that I connect with these movies very well. And I think a lot of people don't connect with these movies very well.
No, you're not wrong. Like, it's one of those, I remember when the Assassin's Creed movie was coming up and it felt like, that director, you got Michael Fassbender, you've got like the IP at the right time. That was the one where it felt like, are they going to do this? And then like the movie was what it was. I don't want to, again, I don't like, I'm not one for shit talking, but like it, yeah, that movie was bad. And like, and I think that was a breaking point for me of like, look, unless this really looks like something different that I really care about, like I'm no longer giving these things the benefit of the doubt until like, it is now on to me at that point. It became like, it is on you to prove me otherwise, like to Hollywood at broadly, because they just, I love video games. I've played video games my entire life. And like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. So for me, like if you're, it does often feel like a situation of, if you're not going to respect it, then why should I bother? And that, you know, so luckily that, again, that is starting to change a bit, but it's taken a long time.
Yeah, and I was trying to go back to even into the 90s and stuff. There's movies like Double Dragon, which came out in 1994, that I saw a long time ago and like are just like super cheesy, you know? And like, I guess there are maybe charming aspects of movies like that that people can latch onto. But even for the purposes of a list like this, I couldn't really bring myself to actually put my name to really liking any of these movies, you know what I mean? So like, it was kind of a surprising experiment for me to go through this. I do have a list of things that we'll talk about in the back half of the show, some sort of video game adjacent movies that I find are a lot easier for me to swallow personally. But I do know that there are some video game movies that you actually like. So I don't know. Do you want to like run through those real quick, or maybe we could have a larger conversation about like if there's a through line in those movies that connects with you in some way after you rattle them off?
I guess what maybe we should do first is, because I think we're largely going to talk about movies that are not necessarily direct adaptations of video games. But what I will say, maybe what I'll do is I'm going to talk about the couple that are actually direct adaptations that I do like. And we can talk about those first, then maybe we go through. But so the one for me, the biggest exception of all exceptions is Rampage, the Dwayne Johnson monster movie that is based on the arcade game of the same name. And I think part of why this movie worked. Now, look, I understand it's not a masterpiece or anything, but if you just want big monsters destroying stuff and The Rock shooting a big gun, this movie delivers. And I think part of what worked is that the people that made that movie looked at like, there's not a lot of story to this arcade game. It's a monster movie that we can use as IP and backdoor a big kaiju movie based on saying that it's based on IP. And that worked for me. Like, I like monster movies enough where it was enough and the CGI was really good, I felt, and it was kind of Dwayne Johnson in his comfort zone. And like, that was a good example of what maybe to do, what an approach might be. And so I think that's of the big movies out there. But the other thing I'd like to shout out is director Josh Rubin's Werewolves Within, which is a much smaller movie based on a small game, but it is a genuinely great movie. And I encourage everyone, if you have not seen it, it is the best reviewed video game movie of all time. Werewolves Within is this charming little horror comedy that's based on like a very small game and made for a small amount of money, but it gave Josh Rubin a lot of creative freedom to actually make a good movie within that. So like, those are a couple examples of me of like ways you can do this. But you know, for every one of those, you have your countless Resident Evils, your Mortal Kombats, your Mario Brothers that just don't get there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's all approach driven, right? It's hard to take a experience that is very much interactive and make that a passive experience, yet make it as satisfying. You know, I think that's always been the challenge.
Yeah, I was trying to comb through a bunch of lists on the internet just to see if I could get some inspiration of like, oh yeah, I forgot that's technically based on a video game or something. And I just didn't really see anything that jumped out to me. But one thing that I did see, and we have a list of our own at Slash Film, I think it's 36 of the best video game movies ranked. There are a lot of animated video games that I've never seen or heard of, like a ton of like Pokemon games and stuff like that, or I'm sorry, movies that are based on games. And then there's like I'm trying to look here on this list and see if there's like the I guess the Injustice, you know, is technically like based on a video game, the DC animated
The animated one. I never got around to that, but I heard that. But a lot of those, you know, DC, the one thing you can say about them is they crush the animated game pretty well, so that makes sense to me.
Final Fantasy Advent Children. I've never seen any of the Final Fantasy stuff. Yeah. There's like some animated Mortal Kombat stuff that I'd never heard of before. There's a couple animated Street Fighter movies, probably several at this point.
I completely forgot the recent they did these Mortal Kombat Legends movies. I completely forgot. I missed the most recent one, but the Mortal Kombat animated movies are really good. I think those are streaming on Max. Yeah, those are really fun. I completely forgot about those. I was thinking live action, but yeah. those are great.
So yeah, I'm by all means not presenting myself as any sort of expert in this genre. I'm trying to like make that extremely clear that there's a ton of these movies that I just straight up have not seen. So there are other podcasts, probably entire podcasts devoted specifically to this very subject that you can go to if you want, you know, to really get into the nitty gritty. But I'm just talking about like from a general film fan's perspective. I just wanted to sort of run through some of these things and, you know, even going back to like the Mortal Kombat from the 90s and the Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme and stuff. Like, again, I watched these movies when I was a kid. I enjoyed them back then for what they were, but like the production design and the sets and stuff, I mean, you could tell that everything was just like, there's a whiff of cheese to all of them, right? That like, you just can't quite get over. Even watching and understanding now as an adult what the resources they had to work with were. So I guess, were there any other movies that you wanted to mention before we start talking about like the adjacent stuff?
The only other thing I will say is I felt like the 2021 Mortal Kombat movie was, I liked it. I thought that was a lot better than the 90s ones for whatever it's worth. Mm-hmm. But I understand people's frustrations with that movie, but I had a really good time with that one. But I think given the mixed response to it, it would be unfair for me to be like, you know, hold it up as some, you know, masterpiece of the genre or anything. But I did really like that. But, you know, I, as a sort of honorable mention, I guess I would say for.
Yeah.
And I think the sequel has a chance to kind of get it totally right. But we'll see.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was my memory of the 2021 Mortal Kombat movie, was that it sort of was one of those films that like leads up to what the original movie was promising, or what the very movie that you're watching was promising, and then it just sort of like leaves that as a tease for the sequel, and you're like, oh man, like I came here to watch a Mortal Kombat movie and you didn't really have like the tournament or anything. So I agree that the sequel has maybe a lot more potential than that first film did in its current form. I wanted to ask you before we shift gears here, what your relationship is with like the Pokemon, the Pokemon phenomenon in general. Like, did you grow up with like playing with Pokemon cards and all that kind of stuff? And what do you think about like Detective Pikachu, which is another relatively high ranking movie in terms of like the Rotten Tomatoes of it all in terms of video game movies?
I'll say Detective Pikachu is a perfectly good movie, and actually visually Detective Pikachu is pretty great. Like, I think like some of the cartoony CGI actually really works for, I think, like Pokemon, and I don't know. So for me, like, I don't have a lot of connection to it, but I do think that that's an example of like, you know, it's an example of a good one. But I think for me, my relationship to Pokemon was brief. It popped real hard when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I believe. And I got into Pokemon cards when I had no money. So what ended up happening is me and my best friend at the time, a bunch of our buddies gave us a bunch of their like duplicate cards and stuff.
Hmm.
And I ended up using those and like trading my way up to an entire binder of like incredible Pokemon. Like I built this collection off of like, you know, there's those YouTube videos of people being like, oh, I traded a paperclip and ended up with like a, you know, whatever. Or like, and I sort of did that with my Pokemon card collection, and I got over it really fast. And so I got out of it at the peak of like the craze, and my aunt was having a garage sale, and I set up a table and sold all my Pokemon cards, and my family didn't believe that those were worth any money like I was trying to tell them they were. And I ended up making like hundreds of dollars like as a sixth grade. And they were like, they were, because my, you know, your parents, like, they hear their sixth grade kid telling them, oh, these are very valuable. And they're like, sure, kid, sure. Right. And then, like, you know, I sold like my Charizard for like $80 for like one card or whatever it was. And yeah, that's why I kind of like got in and got out. So that's my total relationship to Pokemon. I never really got super deep in any of the games or anything. I have nothing against it. It just wasn't a big part of my life beyond that. But
yeah, same. It sort of like missed me. It came like just a little bit on the tail end of when I would have been primed to go all in on that whole thing. So I just kind of missed it as a whole cultural force. But okay, let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk about some video game adjacent movies.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
All right, Ryan. So since I couldn't really, in good faith, tell the world that I love a movie that's actually based on a video game, I was like, all right, what else can I do here? And I was thinking about movies that either incorporate video games into their plot or are sort of loosely based on a video game that doesn't exist and things like that. And thinking about movies like that, because there's a whole separate list that we could do of, there are a ton of movies like that. So I wanted to just run through this list real quick. And do you have a list of similar titles that you put together?
I do. I have a few for sure.
Okay. So maybe we can just bounce back and forth. So one of them that I'll mention is a movie that I've mentioned on the podcast before, that I saw at Sundance earlier this year, and it's called Evil-in, and Netflix is going to be putting this out at some point this year. I don't know if they have an official, if it has an official release date yet, but this is, a documentary that I think is one of the best movies of this year. And we have a list. I'll try to link to it in the show notes of every movie that we saw at Sundance 2024. We wrote up little sort of capsule reviews of it. So I'm not going to go too deep on this because you can read my full sort of reaction to it there. But basically, it's about this kid who was born with a form of muscular dystrophy and spent a lot of his time on the computer. And his parents, he died at age 25. And his parents were devastated at, obviously, the fact that their son died so young, but also because they thought that he did not really have the opportunities to have, you know, to fall in love or like have these detailed friendships that kids who didn't have this degenerative disorder had. And then they discovered, because they discovered after his death, that he lived this vibrant life in the world of Warcraft. And had all of these flourishing relationships with a bunch of different people, including romantic ones. And they were just kind of blown away by this. And this movie, Evil-in, is a recreation of a lot of the actual interactions that this kid had in the world of Warcraft. So a lot of it is like using video game engines and stuff like that to where you're following his avatar character around in that world and retracing his steps. And they're using like the actual logs of the movements that he made and the conversations that he had and stuff like that, all through text in this world. And it's a really, really incredible, super emotional movie. I was moved to tears several times. It's just incredibly powerful stuff. So I just wanted to use this as another platform to put that movie on people's radar and make sure that it doesn't get just lost in the Netflix sea when that comes out later this year. It's called Evil-in, Ibelin. So
yeah, I've heard you talk about this multiple times now, both like on podcasts and like you just talking to me separately. Like your passion for this film is well noted. Like I am very, like you have purely got me suit. Like I am waiting for this movie to come out.
Yeah.
Because I've heard you like mention it a bunch of times.
And speaking of movies that we've mentioned before, a movie that you mentioned, and I don't know if this is actually on your list or if I'm just teeing you up for something, but you mentioned a film called Grand Theft Hamlet that I have had a chance to see.
You literally just teed me up. Yeah, okay. For exactly what I was going to, because using the exact same thing you're saying. So this premiered at South by Southwest this year. I haven't really sat and like truly thought about my favorite movies of the year so far, but Grand Theft Hamlet is without question in the top three, if not still my favorite movie of the year so far. Grand Theft Hamlet is a documentary that is filmed entirely in Grand Theft Auto Online. There is not a single frame of anything that is not in the game itself. And it takes place over the COVID lockdown, and it's a couple of friends that end up, they're like out of work actors and theater performers, and they decide to stage a performance of Hamlet within the game itself. It is a same thing where like you, it sounds silly, and it is, and it's funny at times. It is the best COVID movie by leaps and bounds. Like, I don't really want to watch movies about the pandemic. I hated it more than anyone that I know. Like, I never want to go back there. But like, this is a movie that so captures like humanity at its best when things are their worst. Like it moved me to absolute tears in the same way, like in a way that you just wouldn't expect. And this movie secured distribution from like a smaller company. I don't know precisely when it is going to come out, but for the love of all that is holy, even if you don't like video games, if you just like humanity in any way, shape, or form, like this is, you know, and it uses like this just gargantuan cultural thing that is Grand Theft Auto, which is one of the like most like profitable media ventures of all time, to sort of tell this Shakespearean story. And yeah, it's truly, truly incredible. Like in the same way that I pray this movie does not fall through the cracks whenever it eventually arrives.
Yeah.
Because it deserves every bit of attention.
Awesome. Okay. So that's called Grand Theft Hamlet. The next one that I had was Wreck-It Ralph from 2012. Disney animation movie. There's a sequel that came out a few years ago, 2018, I think, for that one. I like the first movie a lot better than Ralph Breaks the Internet. That first movie is just so much fun, man. It's in my eyes, it is the perfect video game movie. It's exactly what I want from a world like that, and actually does incorporate, you know, familiar video game characters that they were able to license and stuff like that, even though the main thrust of the movie is based on fictional games that they created specifically for this film. I remember like I was doing what I'm doing now. I was working for a different website, and I like did press for this movie and talked to Rich Moore, the director, and all that kind of stuff. So it's just wild that I guess I've been in this game for a while. This movie came out in 2012, just putting me back. I had a chance to like go visit Disney Animation Studios and like see some presentations and stuff of early footage and concept art and all that kind of stuff. So this movie has kind of a special place in my heart just from the personal experience that I had with it. But I think it's genuinely a pretty great movie that holds up really well. So do you have any Wreck-It Ralph thoughts?
My only thing, I saw the first Wreck-It Ralph is fine. You know, like I like, it is a good, it's one of those ones that didn't resonate as much with me, but I fully get it. The only thing I will say, one of the hardest I've ever laughed at an animated anything ever is in Wreck-It Ralph, the Ralph Breaks the Internet, when that girl is playing the game with the bunny eating the cake and it like explodes. That to me was just like that hit my like lowbrow humor bar so perfectly that I like, even if you don't want to watch that whole movie, please watch that scene. Worth the whole franchise for that like 2 minutes of just pure greatness. That's all I've got.
Okay, what's your next one, Ryan?
I guess in some ways similar to what you're saying is that like I, you know, like it's not like based on a video game, but like I thought that Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle was, it was a movie that I had zero expectations for. I was like, Jumanji reboot, whatever. I thought that was just a great, like, action adventure, family friendly, but like super fun, good looking movie. Like the sequel was okay, but I really would, that was one of my bigger surprises of that year. Of just like how shockingly fun that movie was and a good little spin on what that original was and you know what they ended up doing. And yeah, so I don't know, that it's not based on a video game, but it, you know, it's got the spirit of, I think it nailed the spirit of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, that absolutely qualifies for what we're talking about here.
Sure. So I think, I don't know, what your thoughts are, but I feel like I wasn't alone in being sort of surprised by how fun those movies were.
No, you definitely were not. That movie did very, very well at the box office. People love that movie. I, unfortunately, was not one of them. I feel like I'm the only person that I know, along with my wife, who we were just standing on an island being like, really? This? Like, this is what people love? But I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't want to take anybody's enjoyment away from them, but that movie just did not really resonate. I don't know. I think maybe because we just grew up with that first movie so ingrained, and I don't know, like the Dwayne Johnson Kevin Hart combo from Central Intelligence, another movie that I just really didn't like. I just I was like, this is what we're doing to this franchise now. Anyway, it works for most people on Earth, so who am I to say it's bad?
Yeah, but hey, look, I'm the guy that doesn't like Avatar or Avatar 2, so I have to stand here and I to this day, the most like annoyed anyone has ever been with me on the internet is when I was pulled into a spoiler discussion about Avatar: The Way of Water on this podcast. So. But anyway,
oh man, okay,
I hear you.
Yeah, so another one that I think you and I both share is The King of Kong: A Fistful of Quarters.
Oh.
Yeah, this documentary came out in 2007. Seth Gordon directed it. And if you've never seen this, please seek this out. This is such a great documentary. It's maybe one of my favorite documentaries ever made.
Criterion release when? Good.
Yeah, it's just so, so good. So the basic premise is this guy named Steve Wiebe, who is just a normal dude. He's like I think he's an engineer or something like that. He has a Donkey Kong arcade game in his garage or in his house somewhere, and he has slowly become one of the best Donkey Kong players in the entire world. And the movie tracks his attempt to compete in the sort of, like, I think Twin Galaxies is the name of the arcade or video game organization that like keeps track of records and stuff. And it's about this guy's attempt to take the high score from this flashy, over the top like barbecue sauce salesman, just this figure that you would not believe is actually a real person, named Billy Mitchell. And it's just this incredible, like a David and Goliath story, basically, but in the world of Donkey Kong and arcades and video games and stuff like that. So it's this really, really amazing story. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on King of Kong, Ryan?
You know, documentaries are a lot of times, I think they get reduced down to like talking heads and stock footage. And, you know, like this is such a brilliant example of like the documentary format being used to tell a cinematic story, like in a way that like there's no chance a narrative feature would be anywhere as good as this. It's one of those movies that I felt like could have been nominated for Best Picture and I would have been happy with it. You know what I mean? Like I felt that strongly. I loved it so much. Yeah. It's such a weird, like the premise sounds so like, how is that interesting? But it is so interesting, and it's all about the characters. It's a character piece is really what it is. When you brought this up, I kind of sort of, because it's so long ago, I almost forgot about it. And now I'm like scrambling to see if they ever made a Blu-ray of it. And they didn't, but King of Kong is maybe my second favorite documentary of all time, next to Only Man on Wire, which is one of the best movies I've ever seen, period.
Awesome.
Truly.
Okay,
right there with you.
So what's next on your list?
One that I felt like just completely fell off everyone's radar, which was last year there was a movie called Tetris that came out on Apple TV Plus. And it was about the making of Tetris. So it is kind of a video game movie. I even wrote a thing for us saying that like it is in a roundabout way one of the best video game movies ever made, because even though it is not necessarily like taking the narrative of that game, which there isn't one, it is taking the real life story about that game's like wild creation. And like, I was enraptured by the movie. Like it felt like, you know, critics were okay with it and it just went to Apple TV Plus. Nobody talked about it and just like disappeared from the ether. I only bring this up to be like, I thought it was excellent. Like, I played Tetris my whole life. I would still call it one of my favorite games. And it, I didn't really know a lot of this story, and Taron Egerton gives it like a phenomenal performance in it. And just, yeah, I mean, I'm just bringing it up, 'cause I'm like, please, if you want a good video game movie, it's right there ready for the taking.
Yeah, I skipped this one. I never got around to checking it out, but maybe I'll have to add it to my list now if it means that much to you. So Yeah,
I had no expectations going into it. I'll say that, like, I didn't know what to expect. And then I just kind of found myself like, it's like an excellent popcorn movie. Like, but you know, like, I don't know. I don't know if it'll work for everybody, but like, it's definitely like populist entertainment, but like in a really compelling way, I felt so.
Sweet. Okay. My next one is called Cloak and Dagger from 1984. Have you ever seen this?
I have not, and I was curious to hear you talk about this, because I've heard people mention this movie an awful lot for one I've never seen.
Yeah, so this came out in the mid-80s, and it stars Henry Thomas, who was the main character in E.T., and Dabney Coleman, who is this great character actor who just died not too long ago, and he's one of those guys with, if you don't recognize his name, you would absolutely recognize his face. And Dabney Coleman plays Henry Thomas's dad, and he like works for the military, I think, and is just kind of like an absent father type of figure. He has problems relating to his kid. And so the kid basically creates this imaginary friend figure who is also played by Dabney Coleman, who is like this military master, this sort of like spy guy. And I think I want to say his name is Jack Flack. And, he's like this espionage figure. And so Davey, the young boy, just sort of like goes on these adventures, kind of kid, you know, normal kid stuff with this imaginary friend. And then he actually gets embroiled in this real life conspiracy where there's a video game named Cloak and Dagger. And that's where the imaginary friend character comes from. I think he envisions hanging out with the lead character of this game, who is in his mind played by his dad. And so he goes to the mall or something and like he witnesses a murder, and the victim gives him a version of this game, a cartridge of this Cloak and Dagger game. And it has military secrets in it, like real world military secrets. And so he is on the run from like these shadowy government forces. And this kid is like 10 years old or whatever. And yeah, of course people don't believe him. And there's this whole adventure component of like him and his younger sister, like what are we going to do? Nobody believes us. And like him sort of the imaginary figure of his dad kind of like serving as like almost like an Obi-Wan Kenobi type of ghostly mentor figure to him. And it's really all about this relationship that this kid has with his dad and like not being able to connect and the sort of frustrations that come with that. But it's all wrapped up in this really exciting adventure story that I think is like one of my, I mean, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've seen this, but I grew up watching this movie when I was a kid. And to me, it feels like a movie that it might not hold up super well because like people right now, kids probably don't even know what a cartridge is for a video game, you know what I mean? But like the themes and everything, I think, hold up pretty well. So I'd be very curious to see what you think about this movie if you actually get a chance to watch it.
I'm absolutely going to check it out, if for no other reason than Henry Thomas gives the greatest performance by a child actor ever in E.T., and this was right around that same time. So yeah. I 100% still believe that in my bones. So yeah, and Henry Thomas, also a very nice guy. I got to interview him once. Very, very nice guy. But awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, that's Cloak and Dagger from 1984.
Do you know, is it streaming anywhere? Or do you just own it? Or yeah, like, do you know what the...
I have not watched
it. I mean, I'm sure I could just Google it myself, but I was
probably
just
20 offhand. Years. Let's see. Cloak and Dagger. I'm looking this up in real time, and it is available to rent right now for like $4 on
Apple. Okay, so just Apple your standard Amazon, rental. So. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your next one, Ryan?
Actually, I think we have actually exhausted my okay list. I should have teed that up a little better. But yeah,
No. I just have one more, and it's War Games from 1983, the Matthew Broderick movie. Have you ever seen this?
It was one of those ones that I saw on like cable when I was a kid, just channel surfing. So like, I don't have great recollection, but I'm aware of it. Like I think like my biggest thing is that I know that Ernest Cline's novel Armada was largely influenced by War Games, I believe. And I liked that novel quite a bit, so that's about all I've got to add to the War Games conversation.
Yeah, this is another one that I grew up with. I haven't seen in 20 or 30 years probably at this point, but yeah, a young Matthew Broderick. Dabney Coleman is in this movie as well. Ali Sheedy is in this, and Broderick plays this computer hacker who accidentally taps into this military supercomputer, and it's like running scenarios of nuclear war basically against the Soviets, and accidentally this kid gets again embroiled in the sort of international incident where he's playing, basically they turn from it turns from like a fictional scenario into a very, very real threat when he's like on the precipice of launching World War III, basically. So just a really, really fun movie. Again, the you know, for the modern eye, some of the computer tech and stuff is going to seem like laughably outdated or whatever, but it's another movie that I think the thrust behind it, the gist behind it, and the themes and everything that it taps into are still pretty relatable to a 2024 audience. So it's been, again, a long time since I've seen this, but it certainly left a mark with me. And some of the imagery from this movie is like burned into my brain. And some of the games and stuff that I think global thermonuclear war is just like such a that's like the game that the computer is trying to run the simulation on. That's just like been burned into my brain since the mid 80s or whatever, the early 90s when I saw this for the first time. So war games, really good stuff, definitely worth checking out. And again, kind of like we're cheating a little bit by including it on a list like this, but when the real video game movies are so bad, like, I don't know, I just feel like we got to dip into this other category just to even have a conversation.
The only thing I can add to War Games is that if you got 23 or so minutes, go watch the American Dad episode called A Pinata Named Desire, which actually has a pretty large War Games connection and is very funny for my money. So
okay,
that's all I've got.
Excellent. All right. Well, any other, I guess, closing thoughts on video game movies, or are there any that that you happen to be looking forward to? I know there are a ton that we didn't mention, and even in the adjacent category, like Last Starfighter is one that people grew up with. I know that I've never seen, but I'm guessing people were probably like screaming at their podcast players of like, why didn't we include this? So feel free to write us in and or write us an email. Let us know, you know, if there's anything that we missed or anything that you all love out there. But Ryan, for you, like, are there any video game movies that have been officially announced that are actually, that you're actively looking forward to, anything like that? Or are we just kind of still in wait and see mode?
One thing I would point out, we haven't really talked about this at all, is that TV has been the place that video games have really found footing. Like going back to Castlevania on Netflix, or, you know, The Last of Us or Fallout, shows that I haven't watched, but clearly like Emmy type considerate, you know, good, really truly good story. And maybe that has to do, you know, video games tend to be long, and maybe that is a thing that suits a longer format better. But, you know, I will say those, but I think that those, the success of those shows has also in turn offered Hollywood a path to understand how maybe better to adapt these movies. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's just at least worth, you know, taking into account. And also, we shouldn't discount the success of the Super Mario Brothers movie last year. It worked very well for its attended audience, and, you know, I think that that's good. For me, the one that I personally have on my radar, other than Mortal Kombat 2, is it just started filming, but Until Dawn, which is David F. Sandberg's return to horror. Okay. After he is a, it's like a survival video game. I haven't played a lot of it, but the premise is very like survivor slashery, and it's David F. Sandberg of Lights Out and Annabelle Creation fame going back to horror for like a big video game adaptation that like just started filming and I believe might be eyed for a release next year. So that one I am like very, very, very excited about. And then I would also point to Blumhouse's upcoming adaptation of the survival video game Dead by Daylight, which I'm very much looking forward to. Those are the ones that stand out to me.
That's great. All right. Well, you can find more about all the stuff that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.